you know, we've really kind of already had a sermon lived out in front of us. And we don't have time for a sermon. So I'm going to give you a sermonette for Christianettes. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to talk from my heart a little bit about the gospel here. And if you were waiting for the rest of going through the Sermon on the Mount and stuff, you're going to have to wait till next week to hit that because we're in a shortened time right here. And besides that, I think it's good sometimes just to go back to the basics of the gospel and talk about it. And so let's just pray before we start. Father, there are all kinds of voices in this world calling to us and saying, we can make your life better. We can give you fulfillment. We can give you peace. We can give you security. This is what you need. And yet none of them can deliver. They're all false gods. They're idols that we put up, and we give ourselves and we give our energy and we spend our money and our resources on trying to obtain peace and joy and love and acceptance and meaning out of all of these different things that promise it to us, only to find out that they can't deliver. We think that by chasing these things that they'll give us what we want, but we find that they suck us dry and that we become slaves to chasing them and we're never fulfilled. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the understanding that only you who created us know our hearts. Only you can fulfill us, because what our hearts desire more than anything else is the security of your love. You're the only one that can really control things. You're the only one that can give us peace. You're the only one that can truly give us acceptance and meaning. And so, Father, we look to you right now and we ask you to speak to us. Your voice is the only one that matters. If we cannot hear your voice, if we cannot follow you, if we cannot find the reason that you created us and put us on this earth, what matters in life? We need you. We need you more than anything else. And so we ask you now just to clear our minds of all the things that are rushing through it. And we ask you to reveal yourself to us and speak. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, as I was walking down, I was thinking of the four fundamentals of the gospel. It's been a while since we went over them. Those of you who've been here a long time, you know, we've had these up for a long time. And they are really the basis of what Christianity is about. And the first one is this: you belong in God's family. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? God gave us life. We run through life so much, and it seems like the older we get, the more demands are made on our life. You ever feel that way? I thought I had a lot of demands until I started dating. And then I thought I had a lot of demands to ensure that the girl would like me until I got married. And then I thought I had a lot of demands on my life until I had three little boys. And I've got demands at work, and it seems like the older we get, the more responsibility we have, and the more the rush of life seems to be what it's all about. It's hard to stop. Someone always wants something. And it seems so obvious to us if we just stop and think about the fact that we are alive. Do you know how bizarre that is? That I'm standing right here, right now, and I can see you. That I can have a friendship and experience life with you. That you're listening to me and you can hear. That you can think. The fact that you exist. That you're alive. Do you know how bizarre that is? Do you have an explanation for that? I will tell you, no scientist alive, including Albert Einstein, could find an answer to that other than the fact that there must be some divine power that did it so miraculously. Who can understand the fact that we are sitting here conscious? You know what I mean? We're alive. Right now, we're alive. That is the most incredible thing to think about that you can think about. How do you exist? People want to sit around and think how God exists. How do you exist? How we can look at life and not think that God is an important part of it is really shallow thinking to the max. Because God created us and he put us on this earth. He gave us this incredible, miraculous gift of life, which is the most valuable thing any of us have. And only he understands it. And he created us with a big hole in our heart that will never be satisfied until something beyond what we can understand loves us. How many of you know someone who is desperately trying to suck love and acceptance and meaning and security out of someone else, and all they do is smother them because they can't give it? Only God can satisfy our hearts. And he created us because he wants to satisfy our hearts. He wants a loving relationship with us, which is what these people wanted to be baptized to acknowledge they have found. They were created to be in God's family. Being lost is being separated from God. It's being alone. It's being independent. It's drifting through this world. And when things are working out, we think, okay, I'm okay. But when they fall apart, we realize that there's got to be more than this, and we're not in touch with it. And so the first thing the gospel communicates is this: God created you. Uh-oh. Maybe I'm doing the message. Just kidding. God created you, and he wants you in his family. He created you to be a part of his family, to love and worship him and live in loving relationships with other people. And our hearts are never satisfied with that. The second fundamental comes right after it. I guess it's on this side. And that is that sin is serious and it will ruin your life. There's a lot of people who don't understand what sin is. They look at the fruit of sin or sins, the things that we do because there is sin in our life, and they think that's sin. They see themselves as totally disconnected from God because they are. And they think God is looking down and judging them on whether they said or did the right thing or the wrong thing. Well, let me tell you something. God knows that apart from him, you're always going to end up saying and doing the wrong thing because emotionally you can't handle life without him. And when we're in distress and when we're in despair and when we're frustrated and when we're angry and when we're fearful, none of us say and do the right thing. So God is not surprised that people who have sin in their heart sin. It's what sinners do. And so sin is when we are in a state of being separated from God by our choice. In other words, we all see and stop at times and realize there's got to be something more, and life is a gift, and we should turn and say, oh, God, help me find you. Where are you? We should seek the one who created us. But we have so many other voices calling us that we think are better options and that we think that could fulfill us faster and better than God could, that we chose not to seek God. We chose to ignore God. We chose to push God away. One of the verses in the Bible, in Ephesians 1:5, tells us, it says, but it was always his unchanging plan. This is God's, always been God's unchanging plan, to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ, which brought him great pleasure. God's hope has always been that we would see him and see his love through the love and the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us, that we would realize that there is no greater love in the world than his, and that we don't want to chase after other things besides God, and that instead of being separated from God, trying to figure out a way to fill our lives up, that we would just say, God, I don't know where to go. I turn to you. Will you help me? Will you take my life and make it what you want it to be? I want to have a relationship with you. That's always been God's unchanging plan, to bring you into his family. The Bible tells us in Numbers, you can be sure of this, your sin will find you out. How many of you remember that verse? If you choose to separate yourself from God, and usually we do it because we think we know better, right? There's very few people who say, I'm going to separate myself from God because I just want my life to be a tormented mess. I want to destroy my family. I want a divorce. I want to see people at work hate it when I walk in the door. People don't say that. People separate themselves from God because they think that they know better. They think that they can figure it out. They think they can manage their lives. They think that in their separation or their sin from God, they can find fulfillment. But the Bible says you can be sure of this, your sin will find you out. Sooner or later, we come to realize that the choices we made have cost us what deep in our hearts we know God wanted for our lives. We traded our family for our career. We traded our self-esteem and our self-worth to be accepted by a group or a person. But our sin will find us out. And we find ourselves in a state that because of our choice to reject God, we have destroyed our own lives. We have destroyed the lives of people around us. And we're not becoming, and most of us come to a place where we don't even believe we can become what God wants us to. We've messed life up so much. And then the next principle is this. You become a believer, a true believer, or a disciple, or a Christian, we call it, when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. In other words, when you come to a place that you realize, I cannot be what I want to be and what God created me to be without God. I can't keep going this way. I can't keep trying to do it without God. I keep messing it up and messing it up. And even if I manage my life, it's so far short of what God would want and what my family needs. I can't do this anymore. That's a confession. And when I turn to God and I say, will you take my life over? I will obey you. I don't even know what to do, but what you tell me to do, I will do. That's called repentance or a change of mind. I think I can handle my life, and now I've changed my mind, and I think the only one who can handle my life is God, and I am going to obey him. And when that happens, because we see of God's love through Jesus Christ, because we know that God will accept us rather than be mad at us, because when we were in sin, Jesus Christ came on this earth. He left the glory of heaven, took the form that we have. He took the insults, he took the rejection, he took the persecution. He allowed his creation to crucify him and kill him so he could expose the rebellion in their hearts. And on the cross he said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. If they would have stopped and looked up and seen who you were and seen who I was, they would not have rejected you and put themselves in this state. Please forgive them. Accept the sacrifice of my life as payment for their sins. So that if they will just see where they are and confess that they are wrong and turn to you, that you can say, your sins are already paid for. I paid the price for them. I paid the punishment on that cross for your sins. And when you turn to me and say, I will follow you, the slate's already been wiped clean. The door is open. All God wants you to do is reach out and grab it. And then the best news at the end of it, well, it's all good news. You know, the cross of Christ paying for our sin is great news. I don't want to pay for my sins. I've made too many of them. You know, I don't want to pay for my sins. I want mercy. But to know that God doesn't just forgive me, but as soon as I turn to him, he says, let's start rebuilding this life. Let's redeem this life. I know you've made a mess of things, but you've got the wisdom and the power of the creator of the universe in your life right now. You may not know how to get out of this, but I will help you get out of this. You may think that this relationship is destroyed in such a way that there's no way you could ever put it back together. You trust me and follow me. I can put it back together. He has got a purpose for our life. He doesn't want us to just say, okay, he's forgiven my sins. Now let me just sit back and watch TV, sit on the couch, enjoy life. No, now we are servants of God. The plans that God had for our life of doing eternal good, of setting other people's hearts free like you saw Stephanie's, like you saw Ed's. The changes that come where instead of living for themselves, they now live for others. They desire to see other people find the love that they have found. And when they see that passed on, it brings them great joy like Barbara had to know her daughter is being baptized. Because she knows the life that she's walking into. It's not a life of disappointment. It's not a life of destruction. It's not a life of regrets. It's a life of seeing the hope of God that he has put in our heart. As she delights herself in the Lord, he will give her the desires of her heart. What a wonderful thing for a mother to be able to look and see my daughter is on the path of having the desires of her heart fulfilled. Rather than being sucked into the world and used and abused and destroyed by those around her. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. It's of eternal significance. It's of building and sharing the love of God in the world. And God does it through us. It's about seeing marriages restored. It's about seeing relationships with kids restored. It's about being able to be someone who can help and heal at a time of hurting. The power of that is in each one of you. Because God lives in you, because you surrender your life to him. And that's what salvation is. That's what salvation is. Well, we're going to take just a moment right now, and I want you to bow your heads, and we're going to pray. Father, there is nothing in this world more important than knowing you. This world is so big that we have no idea how to navigate it. We have no idea how we, as small and insignificant as we are, can have any meaning in our life that lasts beyond our lifetime, if that. You created us. And for whatever reason, whether we deserve it or not, you love us and you see the potential that you put in us when you molded us together in our lives. And you want us to see that. You've shown us that through the cross. But Father, we want to still our hearts right now. And we want to ask you to speak to us. To let us feel the tug of your Holy Spirit, where you reveal to us that it's not just words in a book. It's a living God that loves and cares and sacrificed that we might know him. And so, as we spend these last few moments, I pray, Lord, that as you touch and as you speak to the hearts of certain individuals in this room, I pray you'll speak to all of us. That whatever you're speaking to us, that you'll give us that strength and that faith and that ability to overcome our fears and just grab a hold of you. We really have nowhere else to go. And Father, if you're tugging at our hearts to for the first time ever really let go and trust you, and give our lives to you, I pray, Father, that in this time, that prayer and that cry of that heart will come out to ask for forgiveness and to ask for salvation, to ask for your Spirit to come in and to make us what you want us to be. Father, if you're speaking in many other ways and talking about the way we relate to people or what you want us to do and the choices we're making in life, I pray that as we spend this time, that whatever you're saying, our hearts will say yes. We love you, and we ask for your help. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.